Well, I like that. Isn't that good? Praise the Lord. And, you know, one of these days, shout of acclamation. You say, well, I'm just not like that, says the person who cheers for somebody playing baseball, says the person who cheers for a basketball, a guy taking a round ball and dunking it. Well, I'll tell you what, you get to heaven, you'll cheer. Amen. You will. You'll break out of all your shyness and, you know, all of that, says the person who yells at the referee. Anyway, but let's move away from that. We have a man's watch was found in the men's restroom. I believe this was after Wednesday service. And anybody lose a watch? Men's watch? All right. Anyway, it is at the usher's table. Also, there was some... there were some sunglasses, pretty nice-looking sunglasses, not just toy sunglasses at any rate. And they were, that was sometime during Vacation Bible School, and we have those sunglasses as well. If you lost those, we want to make sure you get those items, all right? Well, we are moving into the next month now. July is a time for service, and I talked about that on Wednesday, talked about the obligation for service, which is courage. You gotta have some courage to serve. I think more than ever in this day, we need to see courage. A lot of people just don't want to serve God because of the attack of Satan, the persecution that comes with it. And so there is a need for courage that tied in with, of course, July 4th and the courage of people that have not only signed the Declaration of Independence, but people that have maintained it, soldiers that have fought. And praise the Lord for those who are courageous. We're going to need some courage among Christians, I believe, to serve God, to be busy, to do the things that God has for us. And I think more and more as we see the day approach, we're going to need to see courage in God's people. Just stand up, take a stand for the things of God. And certainly we are seeing less and less of that stand in our world today as Christianity becomes more and more watered down. But I want to move on and talk about a time for service, and I want to talk to you about the origin of service. Again, we are for such a time as this is the theme for 2013, and the month of July is a time for service. We'll be talking about it all July, and have some papers, different things as far as opportunities to serve God. August 3rd will be a cleaning day of the school, an opportunity to serve the Lord. We had our cleaning day of the church, had a great turnout, had a good time, and we'll have a cleaning day over at the other building at the school on August 3rd, so you might want to mark that on your calendar, and it'll be a great opportunity, just that type of service, and there are so many ways we can serve God, and we'll be talking about that. But today I want to talk to you about the origin of service. Father, I pray you bless the preaching, that you'll speak to our hearts. And Father, if there's anyone that's here today that is not saved, I pray they'll get saved today. I pray they'll have Jesus Christ as their Savior when they leave this place. They'll make that decision. They'll call upon the Lord and they'll be born again. I pray for Christians that you'll challenge us, Lord, to serve you. And you'll give us some doctrine today, some things that will maybe we didn't know before, but also that you'll challenge our hearts and our spirits to be busy serving you. I pray in Jesus' name, amen. In Romans 12, the Bible says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. It is just reasonable. It only makes sense that we would do that. It only makes sense. It is, in other words, God is saying it just is reasonable. It is, God is not, you know, when the preacher preaches, hey folks, let's get busy. Let's get on a bus route, or let's go soul winning, or let's help clean our building, or let's go get involved in Sunday school, or whatever it might be. When those kinds of opportunities are available to serve, it is just reasonable that we would. Oh yeah, of course, amen. I mean, it just makes sense. When I got saved, you've heard me tell the story. I didn't grow up in church. I didn't go to church when I was a child very often. I went every now and then, but very, very rare. Didn't know anything about how that all worked. And I remember getting saved, and Brenda and I then got married, and I was still a long-haired hippie. In fact, we were both hippies, and went to church. But one thing that made sense to me was now I can serve God. I never thought about it. It just never crossed my mind as an unsaved young person that didn't grow up in church. But when I got saved and there we sat in church, the preacher said things like I'm going to say today about hey, you can serve God. And I remember sitting there thinking, wow, that's pretty good. I can serve God. I mean, honestly, I didn't think about, my filthy life that I had been, and much of that had carried over because I hadn't grown in the Lord yet. I just thought, wow, I can serve. I thought, God can actually, I mean, that preacher is preaching, and God can use me. Now, I'd love for God to stir somebody up like that today, just to get the idea that, wow, I can serve. I still remember as we sat in church those early, I hadn't been saved very long, and we sat there and the preacher would say, we need somebody to do this. And I still can remember thinking, oh man, this place, everybody's hand's going to go up. And I watched as people didn't raise their hands. And I remember sometimes, Brother Tim, the pastor would almost apologize that he had to ask. And I thought, why would he apologize? I mean, this is great. We can serve God. And I'm looking around and I'm thinking, that guy, he looks like he could serve and he looks like he could do. Wow, those people. And over and over, the preacher would say, we need somebody too. And then it was like, and so I decided, you know what? If I can serve God, I'll do it. And it just, I can still see, and those are precious, precious memories of the idea that God can use me and He will use me. It's amazing, even to this day, that God will use me. It just blows my mind. I can't hardly believe it. And as Carol was singing, How Great Thou Art, it's one of the things of God's greatness that still absolutely, it just amazes me that God would use us. Amen. The origin of service. Ephesians 2 is our second passage that we looked at, and therefore it is, I'll call it our text, though we will be in several verses in Scripture. Ephesians 2, verses 8 through 10, I think are apt as far as starting off with talking about the origin of service. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. Not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Good works. We're his workmanship, created. God made us with a purpose in mind that he could use us. That should get you excited today. You say, well, you pass around all those sign-up sheets, and man, there's places. Amen. To me, those are opportunities to serve God. I'm not talking about to serve the government. That'd be all right. But I'm not talking about to serve an earthly king. I mean, that'd be all right, but that's nothing. I'm not talking about, a secular job as a CEO or, somebody, a manager, a supervisor, whatever. I'm not, those are okay. I'm not talking about a job where you're making six figures. Well, I don't think anybody here makes it. But anyway, that'd be okay. And we'd love to have your tithe. But I'm not even talking. I'm talking about, are you listening? Get a hold of this, all right? I'm talking about, Kathy, I'm talking about serving the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. I'm not talking about a paycheck that will all get spent and be gone. I'm talking about rewards in heaven that are never gone, eternal. Well, I don't see anybody doing cartwheels. No, don't. But you would have, right, if you'd just thought about it. Listen. What a great, great privilege is ours that we can serve the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, no matter what it's doing, just to be able to do it. Satan has because of his philosophy, his teaching, his deceiving when it comes to evolution, he has tried to convince man that there is no God. He's tried to convince man that man has evolved himself from the amoeba out of the water and flopped out on the earth and somehow has worked his way out of being a duck-billed platypus to being the humans that we are now. He's convinced a whole lot of people of that. And therefore, the people think, you know what? I have become from amoeba to this. I don't need God. But the truth is, we do need God. And we need God more than we have ever needed God. And with that thinking that we don't need God, with the thinking that Satan has convinced so many people of, you know, God didn't create me, and therefore God has, there is no God, there's nothing. And so man has lost any thought of having a purpose in his life. And it's sad to say there's a lot of folks here this morning, you just don't get that there is a purpose for you. You don't get that God in heaven, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, has a purpose for your life. It is beyond whatever you make on your job. It is beyond whatever hobbies you may have. There's nothing wrong with those things, but God in heaven created you with a purpose. He created you to do. And that's why Psalm 100, the psalmist says, serve the Lord with gladness. Serve the Lord with gladness because He made you to serve Him. He made you to be busy. He made you to do. And so, you know, we have our vacation Bible school, and literally by the end of that thing, after 2 weeks of vacation Bible school, we're wore out. Whew, wow. And then we're wore out from vacation Bible school, and then we hear Brother Chase say, "Hey, it's the fair ministry. Hallelujah." Hallelujah. Glory to God. And we're wore out. By the way, this is after a whole school year. This is after, in my case, I preached a week at a camp in Illinois and preached 13 times in 5 days. You know, and it's like whoopee. You know? But if somehow we would start to realize, wow, God's using me. I was kind of watching Brother Holland yesterday, and he had a pretty busy day. It ended up getting rained out as far as the activity at the Pearsons. He was going to drive the bus, but he was kind of rushing around and mowing and trimming and blowing the well. Sometime in there, he did all that. I'm not sure when, but I was thinking, you know, it would be so easy to just kind of get burnt out if you didn't realize the King of Kings and Lord of Lords is using me. Amen. If you know, it'd be easy for anybody because you get tired, you're wore out. And if you didn't realize that God Almighty made me to do something. He made me. He made you to do something, to serve Him. It's amazing to think about. Let me give you some things, and I hope these will help you and they'll challenge you today. First of all, is God's purchase. The Bible says we're bought with a price. The blood of Jesus Christ. There's no greater price. There's nothing been spent, nothing paid, nothing purchased, quite like our salvation. Nothing. The blood of Jesus Christ, the precious blood of Jesus Christ. That's how I'm saved today. For by grace, it says in Ephesians 2:8, for by grace are you saved. We're saved. Saved. We don't have to go to hell. We're saved. For by grace are you saved through faith. What'd you have to do? I had to believe God. That's what I had to do. I didn't have to go to hell. I didn't have to spend eternity in a lake of fire. No, what did I have to do? I just had to believe God who said to me, I died for you. I paid the price for you. And you can be saved. For by grace are you saved. The price has been paid for my salvation. And for by grace are we saved through faith. But it goes on and it says, for we are his workmanship. I mean, he didn't save us and pay that price so that we could just rejoice, though we can. But he goes on, and in the same passage, he says, we're his workmanship. Created. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And I'm fashioned, I'm created to be his workman. We are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. Purchased by the blood of Jesus. I mean, honestly, we would get very upset if the things, and we do get upset when the things we purchase don't work. We all get upset when the things that we have taken our hard-earned money and we purchase, when they don't work, we get up. They're just supposed to work, right? I mean, you turn the key for your car, it's supposed to start always. You step on the brake, it's supposed to slow you down. Always. Step on the accelerator, you're supposed to go faster. Always. It's not supposed to go. Not supposed to do that, is it? Your dryer at home, it's not supposed to make rattling noises. Right? The washing machine, it's not supposed to pour water out all over the place. Right? I mean, again, what we purchase, we expect it to work. You know, our God, he's purchased us. And he expects us to do something. But it's so much more than that. We'll talk about that. Let's just get it in our mind, though. We have a debt that we can't pay. He paid it. Shouldn't we serve him? Shouldn't we? He can't. Look, you can't pay the debt. I can't pay the debt. Shouldn't I just serve him? That's why, again, when I first got saved, I was a new convert. I wasn't learned like some folks are that have been saved for 20 years that are doing nothing. I just thought, woohoo! Wow, God saved me. Oh, I can't pay that debt. I guess I just need to give him my life and serve him. God's purchase. Number two is God's purpose. God's purpose. He has a purpose to use me. Now again, God doesn't want to abuse me. He saved me. He's given me a home in heaven. In my Father's house are many mansions. I go to prepare a place for you, he said. You know, he's not trying to hurt me. All he's ever done is help me. I don't know why we're so afraid to say, yes, God, I'll do whatever you want me to do. I don't understand that. He purchased our salvation, but he has a purpose for me. It's like, you know, and I would like to say that everything we purchase has a purpose, but every one of us has stuff in our house that we purchase that seems to have no purpose. Notice I'm looking this way and definitely not looking toward my left. I don't want, you know, husbands to elbow their wives at this point with that point that was just made, but I can assure you this, the purchase God made, he has a purpose. Amen. And it is not his purpose as a lot of our stuff that is sitting on shelves and has for years. God doesn't want you on a shelf.
Right.
Praise God. Amen. He has a purpose for you to be used. To be used. We get told all the time, you know, well, those bus kids are using you. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Amen. Isn't that great? Praise God. You know, neighbors are using the playground out there. Amen. Glory to God. They're on our turf. And we'll send soul winners out there all the time and talk to them about the Lord. Well, I'm not interested. Well, you're on our playground. Leave me alone. You're on my playground. Happens all the time. Well, they're, you know, those vacation Bible school, they just come to get the prizes. Well, it's because they're quality prizes. With quality entertainment. Woo. Oh, that gum was quality. The little gold, I mean, that's, you can't get any better. Well, you could probably get better, but. But when they, you know, they're just using you. What a compliment that is. Isn't that a great thing? To be used by God in the service of the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. I'm just saying, God has a purpose for you. It's so good to be used. It's so good that God would have something for me to do. It's so good. When I wasn't pastoring, we were at a little church near our house, and we just, you know, we were so used to being involved in everything, and I remember they had two long ditches full of water and mud and everything, and the weeds were so high it was unbelievable. And I remember taking my weed whacker and a machete and just spending a whole day getting in that mud and grime and everything. Just why, preacher? Well, it needed done, but I just wanted God to use me. I just wanted to be used, you know. It is the fact that God has a purpose for me. You say, well, I mean, come on, you were used to being a pastor, been a pastor for years. What are you doing chopping down weeds? Listen, just understand, I could. That's what I was doing it. I could. Could you cut down weeds? Could you pull weeds? Could you clean this? Could you clean that? Could you paint? Could you see? What? How do you know God's purpose? I started out my ministry serving God, painting a swing set, red, white, and blue. That's how it all started. What is it? Because you say, well, how do you know? Because I could. And I did. I got probably more paint on me. I mean, I looked like a flag, to be honest with you, by the time I was done. But again, the purpose. Why don't we as Christians, let's understand, we are His workmanship created in Christ Jesus unto good works. He has a purpose for us. Number three, we see our privilege. Number one is His purchase. Number two is His purpose. Number three is our privilege. Our privilege to be able to serve God, our privilege to be used by God, our privilege to say the King used me. I don't know about you, but I specifically remember my first time painting that swing set and feeling really good because God used me. I felt pretty good about that. I mean, there are folks, maybe the first thing you did was you washed a toilet in the church. King of Kings used me. Oh, really? What did you do? Did you play the royal trumpet? Did you were you the royal court jester? I mean, what? No, I cleaned out a toilet. Thank you. You cleaned a toilet. What's the big deal? It was for the King. You have to understand. It's a privilege to serve the King. In the service of the King. See? That's what I do. I'm in the service of the King. Why? Listen, Satan would love you to think you could have done it on your own. You couldn't have done it on your own. Without him, you're nothing. Without him, I'm nothing. Without him, I'm lost and I'm going to hell. But because he saved me, what a privilege it is to be able to serve him. What a privilege it is to say I serve the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. I can't do as much as I used to because I'm getting older. And I get tired easier. And sometimes my eyes hurt. Sometimes my body aches. So does yours. But I can still do something for the King. Praise the Lord. I think about, you know, we look at grandparents, you know, grandparents, which there's a lot of folks, you know, here, look at my grandkids. You know, and you're looking at pictures all the time, and they look pretty much like anybody's kids. But anyway, and all excited about that and everything. But could you watch the kids? Oh, yes. Oh, yeah, grandparents are, oh, yeah, let me watch the kids. Because why? Because, well, they go home after a while. But anyway, you like that, don't you? Yeah, yeah, you love it. Oh, let me watch the grandkids, sure. I love all that. Do you like the mud that they track into the kitchen? Do you like the little towels? Your home is sparkly clean all the time, right? Till the grandkids come. And your precious towels that, you know, they've been beautiful for years. They're all muddy and nasty, and they have gum and everything else all over them, right? You say, yeah, but I love it. That's what I'm trying to tell you about serving the King of Kings. Love Him like you love those little grandkids. Love Him. You know, there's people that can't serve that wish they could because they've gotten older, or maybe they just can't anymore. I guarantee there's widows all over this room. They would give anything to have his dirty clothes laying on the floor again. Well, you know, I'm just tired of that fair list going around and the preacher preaching about it. But see, someday you're gonna be sad that you can't put your name there. I guarantee there's a whole lot of people that are very, very sad. They're in nursing homes today. They can't do that anymore. To be used by God, to be used of God. You know, when you can't do it, you'll wish you could. And so while you can, you better do it. Better do it. All I've wanted since I got saved was for God to use me, knowing that He had a purpose for my life. I've counseled, talked to many preachers in nursing homes, used to pastor. And yeah, that's true. They have no more late night calls. They don't have any calls. And the thing I hear more than anything else is, I wish I could do it again. Number four is performance. Our performance. Number one is His purchase. Number two is His purpose. Number three is our privilege. Number four is our performance. Truth is, we all have to fight selfishness. We like us. But we need to love Him more. Love Him more. For by grace are you saved. What's grace? It's not something you deserve. It's not God looking down and saying, well, here's some talented folk. Here's a talented, I think I'll save that talented person. No, it's God looking down at a sinner and saying, I'll save a sinner. It's not God looking down and saying, boy, there's a good person. That's a good, good, good person. No, it's God looking at a sinner and saying, I will send my son to die for that person. I love that person so much. And God sent His Son to die on a cross so we could be saved. And so what we have to do is we have to love God more than we love ourselves. We have to love God, and then we love people more than we love ourselves. That way we can be used and enjoy it. Serve the Lord with gladness, the psalmist said. That way it's impossible to lose. Amen. It's impossible to lose. If we could go around the room and say, how many of you have had somebody, as you serve the Lord, somebody hurt you? Probably everybody would raise their hand. Somebody probably has, you know. But the truth of the matter is, though a person may have hurt you, wow, I got to serve the King of Kings. I got to do something for God. It wasn't my time. It was time that God gave me, and I got to use it for His glory. You know, everybody. I mean, you know, we've poured our hearts and our lives into a young person, and then they're a teenager and they rebel, and it hurts us, and it's hard. And we pour our lives and our hearts into couples and families, and then they, you know, then they leave the church and quit going to church completely, and basically we never see them again, and it hurts, and it's hard, but we can't lose because God, I got to serve you, I got to it's an opportunity that you gave me to serve you. And I'm so glad that I did. Individuals, people will disappoint you. Sunday school class, junior church, bus route, whatever it is. You know, maybe you gave money to help somebody out for food or clothes or maybe tuition or whatever it may be. Maybe you helped somebody with their car or you helped them with their business, whatever it may be. I mean, you know, all these different things that you've done to help somebody. Why did you do it? And if we look at it and say, you know what, I'm just serving God. I'm just serving the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And honestly, that's the most important thing. You can't lose. That way, you can go to the fair and you go to the fair and you're about to lead somebody to the Lord, and Kathy pulls them right out from under you and leads them to the Lord. And all you can do is just say, well, praise God. God used me. Amen? Or you're at the fair and you're handing out flyers and somebody says, you blankety blank blank blank, I'm not interested in that. Well, glory to God. I got to serve the Lord. Amen. You know, you're on a bus route and a kid decides to blow their nose on your tie. Well, hallelujah. Isn't it great to be used by God? You say as you wipe it off and then shake hands with someone. I know it happens all the time. But you can't lose. You can't lose. You know, pastors have got to, and leaders have got to get this in their heads. Otherwise, and so many don't, because that's why they're leaving. They're quitting. They can't handle it. Because getting burnt is just, it's just part. Turn that around. Instead of getting burnt, let's call it getting used. And that's exactly the way you have to look at it. Being used. I mean, you do things for people, they stab you in the back. You do things for their kids, they stab you in the back. You pull out the knife, you clean off the blood, and you give it back to them and say, boy, it's great to be used by God. Because if you don't, you never do anything. And that's why so many Christians are on a shelf today. Well, I don't want to get hurt. But you can't get hurt if you know you're serving the King of Kings. You can't go wrong when you realize and you get a hold of the fact that it is a privilege, and I have an opportunity, a performance, if you will, that I can do for the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. I wish I didn't care what people think. You know, that's our biggest problem. We're so worried about what everybody thinks. But I hurt like you hurt. And I cry like you cry. But I ultimately end up rejoicing that I was used by God. That He saw fit to reach down and save my wicked, filthy soul. And then said, go work in my field, son. I mean, I'll be honest with you. Thank you is a whole lot better than rebellion. And I love you is a whole lot better than I hate you. But ultimately, if you do things to hear I love you, then you're gonna be disappointed. And if you do things to hear compliments and everything, you're gonna get in trouble in the ministry. You really are. I mean, I keep all my little notes because there's so few. You know, the little positive notes. I also keep some of the negative notes, but you keep those little things, and every now and then you pull them out and you look at them, and it's a blessing. But if you do it for that, you're in trouble. Amen. But if you do it because, you know what, He's the King. He saved my filthy soul, and He has given me an opportunity. You're in a bus ministry. It's an opportunity. Vacation Bible school, opportunity. Phyllis gave a testimony. I hope I don't embarrass you. Oh, really? Too bad. No, but Phyllis, Sunday night, just before Vacation Bible School, Phyllis was sitting down here, and she hadn't signed up for Vacation Bible School because of things we had talked about, and she didn't sign up, and wasn't going to embarrass her or anything. But I said, has anybody not signed up? And she's sitting there, and she goes, like that. And she gave a testimony about this, so I'm allowed to talk about it. And anyway, she just kind of... And so afterwards, she said a few things, and she said, I don't like Vacation Bible School because of this, and I said, Phil, and these weren't necessarily just weird ideas, it just things that bothered her, and so I said, well, Phyllis, you know what, just to be used by God, isn't that great? And so she jumped in, and you're glad you did, aren't you? Because God used you. It's an awesome thing, you know. You say, well, but here's the thing. I want somebody to notice me. Isn't that enough?
Amen.
It seems like it is. It seems like that would be enough. And I love that testimony. That is so good. You know, there's folks all over this room. You get hurt because God used you. But think about that.
I was on a bus ministry and I gave my life and I gave some of those kids money and then they did this to me or they did that and now they're saying this and now they're saying that. But
how about that where you started off? God used me. Do you understand when we're in heaven, that's going to matter more than anything else? All the hurt, all the things people said, all the nasty stuff that happened, all the times, you know, somebody egged your house. We've been egged. I don't know how many times we've been egged. We can't even keep track. Cars have been egged. Her car, one of her cars, brand new car, was spray painted with green paint. And we've had nasty stuff written on our house. We've had eggs thrown at our house. We've had eggs. The only thing I regretted about all the egging, not the fact that it couldn't come up, was the fact, why didn't you just give them to me? Because I love to eat eggs. I remember one time with our little children, they were just little kids. We were out working in the yard, and a girl that had gone to our Christian school who'd become a rebel, she pulled around with a group of teenagers, and we heard cussing and swearing and called things I had not heard in years. And you say, man, why do you put up with that stuff? Well, because it's an honor. It's an honor to serve the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Amen. How many times that you serve, are you serving an angel unawares? Not those kids, they're demons. Well, Bus kids use you. Praise the Lord, that's why we're here. Parents use you as a babysitter. I know it. I know they look forward to seeing our flyers. They're just looking for the Baileys to show up with those Vacation Bibles. Yes, vacation! Because they're going to pick up their kids and bring them to Vacation Bible School for a whole evening. Honey, what do you want to do? It's Vacation Bible School time. I don't know. What do you want to do? They're using you. Praise the Lord. I hear it every year, while Kathy's got five people leading them to Christ in the fair tent, somebody else is saying, look at those kids. All they do is come in here and get our Kool-Aid. That's why we make the Kool-Aid.
Amen.
It's why we have people signing up for Kool-Aid to bring it in. Amen. That's all they want to do is enter the drawing. That's why we have the drawing. So people enter it.
Amen.
Amen. Well, they're just using us. Praise the Lord. Isn't that good to be used?
Amen.
It's so good. That's how we've got to start thinking, people. Really. Our performance, our work. Why am I doing this? Yeah, but preacher, these bus kids don't plan on doing right. I'm not interested in their plans. I'm interested in his plans. And if I can get them, okay, there's Brittany. Hi, Brittany. She was our little bus kid. She's doing right. She's doing real right. All those years, you know, Brittany did this. Pastor Brittany's being a pain. Pastor Brittany this. Hey, Brittany, what's going on? And right? Yeah. She's just using us. Amen. Glory to God. Amen. That's what we want. I'm just about done. If only one, then we were used to help one. If none, he's still the King of Kings. Amen. If I cleaned a toilet and nothing ever happened, who cares? I served him. It's the service of the King. If I vacuumed a floor and nobody ever got saved and walked across that floor, that doesn't matter. I was serving him. Why do you do what you do? Well, I hope somebody sees me. He does.
Amen.
Amen. I hope somebody says something about it. They probably won't, or they'll criticize you. So you swept, huh? What's that? After you spent a couple hours, just smile and say, oh, I must have missed that. But I served the King. I served the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. I got to serve him. You know what? Set yourself up today for God to use. He has a purpose for your life. Our purchase, our purpose, our privilege, our performance. The last thing is God's pursuit. And I love this. And I want to close with this because it is such a precious, precious truth. And I go back to the Old Testament time. And there are so many examples I could use. I could talk to you about Samson. I could talk to you about Jonah. I could talk to you about Mark. I could talk to you about Demas. But I go back to the Babylonian captivity. And I always like going back to these things. You know, the Babylonian captivity, Nebuchadnezzar came in and literally wiped out Jerusalem. But he took people, but he also took vessels. He took the cups and the bowls and the tabernacle, all the items there. And he took all these vessels that had been dedicated to God. He took them to Babylon. And they show up in Daniel. They show up different times in that. But Jeremiah 27, turn there real quick, because I think there are some folks that maybe this applies to you. Jeremiah 27 and verse 21. Jeremiah 27, 21, a precious verse is talking about these vessels. How important are these vessels? Well, it's not the last time this month you're going to hear about vessels, all right? And so we're kind of setting things up for the month because we are his vessels, amen? But these vessels, they've been dedicated to God, and here this heathen king comes, and he takes out these vessels that have been dedicated to God, and he takes them back to his home, to Babylon, where he practices a false religion to a small g god. And in Jeremiah 27 and verse 21, it says this, "Yea, thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, concerning the vessels that remain in the house of the Lord and in the house of the king of Judah and of Jerusalem, they shall be carried to Babylon, and there shall they be until the day that I visit them." Don't you love that? God said this is going to happen. God said they're going to come in, they're going to take all those vessels, those things that have been dedicated to me, God said. God said, these are my vessels, but I am going to allow them to be taken away. But God said, they'll be gone until the day I visit them. What's he mean? Well, it means like Samson when he got put on a shelf, and the Bible says, but his hair began to grow again. I don't know why I point to my hair. It ain't happening, folks. But with sin, every time I read that, I love it. Because one day he's all sweaty and he reaches up there and wipes the sweat. And God says, Samson, I'm visiting you. You know, if God could just tap you on the shoulder today, because you used to be the guy that'd paint the swing set. You used to be the person that would, you would paint the walls, you would dust, you'd clean, you'd do whatever you used to be the one. God says, I'm visiting you today. Tap, 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 tap. You used to be the one that signed up before Kathy did for the fair. You used to be the one that, you know, hey, if we need something in the bus ministry, I'm there. I'll jump in there. I'll do it. Praise the Lord. This is a great thing. And God says, tap, 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 tap. Tap, 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 tap. Hey, remember, God's visiting you. Just like he visited those vessels. Amen. They were dedicated. And he said, you know, I'll visit them, saith the Lord. Then will I bring them up and restore them to this place. Restore them. To what? To being used by God again. God wants to restore some folks. It's kind of like the axe head that fell off when Elisha, the men were working and the axe head fell in the water. No trees were being cut down with the axe head underwater. Got to get that axe head back on the handle and then use it to do the work. God says, hey, I'm visiting you. You used to. You used to be excited about it. It scares me to think that the day would ever come when God would have to remind me of red, white, and blue paint all over my shirt just to get me back. In Ezekiel 1, the Bible says the vessels were returned to Jerusalem, to the temple. And all I say is if God was concerned about a bowl, a dish, plate, a vessel, how much more is he concerned about us? His son died for us. We are his workmanship to be used. And that's what I want with my life. I just want to be used. That's what I want you to want today, to be used and not a castaway. Let's bow our heads, please.